that on occasion, along with Danny, we can give Pastor John a break. Since I am better at writing sermons than preaching them, I get nervous in front of people. And when this happens, I tend to read the sermon word for word. Pastor John said that he thinks I will become more comfortable in front of people as I have opportunities to preach and teach. You can pick up a copy of this message in the back on your way out. It is an important message, so I encourage you to pass it along to your unsaved family members and friends after you read it. I am going to ask you to help me this morning with some congregational participation. On occasion, throughout the sermon, when appropriate, I am going to stop talking for a moment and give you a hand signal with a word to go with it. You will have to be watching and ready. When I make the hand gesture, you need to say the word quickly that goes with it, loudly and confidently. You may want to write them down, but there's only four or five. Now I will give you the hand signals and tell you the words that go with them, and then we can practice them together a couple times. When I do this, you say, amen.
Amen.
When I do this, you say, look up. When I do this, you say, listen. When I do this, you say, yes. Okay, now comes the test. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Very good. I started off preparing the sermon on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, which talks about the coming of the day of the Lord. But I found that I had too much to say to fit into one sermon. So I have decided to break the sermon out into three different messages. The first one's this morning, the next one's on the 4th of July, Sunday, and the third one is on July 11th. So, the current condition of our country and the world makes me believe that we are in the last generation of Christians. We are the generation which will be living when the rapture occurs. These are the last days. We are the generation that will see Jesus return. Since this is true, the passage we will be studying this morning was written specifically for us. It was written for believers who would be living at the end of the church age, just before the rapture of the church and the start of the day of the Lord. So I want to encourage you to stay alert and awake and listen carefully to these messages, because you do not want to be left behind on the earth after the rapture, and because you do want to be ready to meet Jesus in the clouds when he calls your name. Through the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus has given us instructions on how to live and what to do right up to the time he calls us up into the sky to take us back to heaven with him. This section of scripture, beginning with 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 1 Thessalonians 5:11, should be considered as one unit. There were no chapter breaks in the original Greek. The first part of this section, at the end of chapter 4, describes the rapture of the church. This is when Jesus brings those who belong to him but have died back to life in new eternal bodies. Then he instantly will change our bodies from our current mortal bodies into new eternal ones. If we are alive when he comes, we will never experience death. We are told that Jesus himself will come down from heaven. And he will give a loud command for us to meet him in the clouds. An archangel will make an announcement. And God will cause the sound of his trumpet to be heard all the way around the earth. Every genuine Christian, whatever they are doing, will stop and meet Jesus in the clouds. Then he will take us, the great multitude of believers, back to heaven with him. He will show us the place he has prepared for each of us in his Father's house. And take us to meet our Father in heaven face to face for the first time. Amen. Now we are going to watch a short video about those left behind because they were not ready when the rapture happened.
Thank you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Being left behind when Jesus comes back for his church can be a very scary thing to think about. It's going to be especially bad for those who wake up the day after the rapture and realize that everything God said was going to happen was true. But they didn't listen to him or believe him. Even if they look up into the clouds at that point and say, "Take me with you," it will be too late. The doors of heaven will be closed, and Jesus won't be coming back for those who were not ready. Fortunately for them, God is gracious, and it will be possible for those who were left behind to believe in Jesus during the tribulation period. This is only if they haven't been deceived by the powerful deception of the Antichrist, believing the lie that he is the Savior of the world. A great multitude will be saved during the tribulation, only to be killed and go to heaven before the end of it. You can find this in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 14. It will be very difficult for those who believe in Jesus Christ and submit to him as Lord to survive into the end of the tribulation period when he comes to the earth for the following reasons. Those left behind who come to Jesus after the rapture will suffer under the terrible judgments that God will pour out on the unbelieving world during the seven-year tribulation period. Those left behind who come to Jesus after the rapture won't be able to have a job or buy or sell or participate in the global economy. Those left behind who come to Jesus after the rapture will be hated by all the global community citizens, and they will be betrayed to the government authorities. There will be a global mandate for citizen identification and registration. The Bible calls it the mark of the beast. Jesus' followers will be considered haters for refusing to take the mark of the beast and worship him. Those left behind who come to Jesus after the rapture will be hunted down by the New World Order police and then executed for the crime of refusing to become a registered and loyal global citizen. Many brave souls will count the cost and refuse to submit to the mandate. However, most of humanity will be deceived by the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will welcome the new order and its global government and will willingly comply to all the new regulations. They will think that they are doing the right thing when they become a world citizen. They will proudly wear the mark and gladly bend the knee to the Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, it says that when they do this, they will be sealing their fate. It will purchase them a guaranteed place in the lake of fire forever. Today, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 5. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, I hope that you will remember this. If you don't want to be left behind after the rapture, then you need to get ready now. Don't take the risk of putting off becoming a born-again Christian. Come to Jesus today and ask him to save you. If you don't want to be left behind after the rapture, you need to get ready now. Don't take the risk of putting off becoming a born-again Christian. Come to Jesus today and ask him to save you. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and follow along as I read the first five verses. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew that you can use. I will wait for you to find your place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Please follow along in your Bible as I read the first five verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think it will be good for you to see these verses as well as to hear me read them out loud. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. About times and dates, we do not need to write to you. Paul doesn't need to write about dates and times because the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, as he has already instructed the Thessalonians believers previously. They know very well that it will come like a thief in the night because he had previously taught them that no one will know the exact day or the exact hour that the day of the Lord will begin. In the Gospels, Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour of his coming, not even the angels nor himself, but only the Father in heaven. He also says in Revelation chapter 3, that he will come like a thief in the night. These statements must refer to his coming back in the clouds to take his church back to heaven. He promised to do this in John chapter 14, stating that he was going to heaven to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, and that he would come back to take us there. However, here Paul is talking about the coming of the day of the Lord, not the coming of Jesus for his church. Is there a connection between these two events, or is there some dependency between them? Notice that Paul had just talked about the rapture at the end of chapter 4, and he is now talking about the day of the Lord at the beginning of chapter 5. Fortunately, we are not left to guess. These questions are answered in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. In that passage, Paul tells us that the day of the Lord will start after the rapture, and after the Antichrist is revealed. Listen as I read these verses. This is from 2 Thessalonians. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the departure occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Here in 2 Thessalonians, the believers were upset because they thought they had missed the rapture and were in the day of the Lord. They were afraid that they had been left behind because they received some fake letter supposedly coming from Paul, saying that the day of the Lord had already started. Since Paul had taught them on a previous visit that they would not go through the day of the Lord because Jesus would come back and take them to heaven before it started, they were confused. So Paul straightened out their thinking. He said that two things need to occur before the day of the Lord begins. First, the apostasia, and second, the revealing of the man of lawlessness. The Greek word apostasia has the root meaning of stand. The prefix a on the front changes the meaning to not stand or not stay. It can be translated as apostasy, falling away, departure, or rebellion. If it is interpreted to mean spiritual departure or falling away, then this would mean spiritual apostasy. However, in this context, I believe Paul is talking about a physical departure, the rapture, which is also mentioned in verse 1, where he says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. This would be the second reference in the paragraph to the physical departure from earth of all those who belong to Jesus. A better translation of the Greek word apostasia in verse 3 is the word departure. Translating it this way allows the reader to determine what kind of departure Paul is talking about instead of the translator making this interpretational decision for him. Since the English word apostasy means spiritual departure, translating the word this way does not allow the reader to make the correct interpretational decision based on the context. For more information concerning the translation of the Greek word apostasia in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, you can find a copy of the departure on the back table. The definite article the, used before apostasia, makes it the departure, or a unique event. This also fits better with the rapture because it is a specific one-time event. The whole world will know that something has happened when millions of people from all over the world disappear in an instant. Spiritual apostasy, on the other hand, has plagued the church and the world since the time of the apostles until today. Other New Testament scriptures do predict an increase in spiritual apostasy in the last days. This is happening now, but I don't think that is what Paul is talking about here. The day we are taken up in the rapture, events will be put into motion which trigger the beginning of the day of the Lord. We also learn from later in this passage, 2 Thessalonians 2, that the day of the Lord will not start until the man of lawlessness is revealed. And we also learn that the man of lawlessness can't be revealed until the restrainer is removed. We believe that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. He is currently restraining evil, the full expression of it, in the world for our benefit while the church is still on the earth. But when Jesus takes us up to heaven, the Holy Spirit will stop restraining evil on the earth. This will allow the Antichrist to be revealed to the world. At that point, the two preconditions for the start of the day of the Lord will have been met, and the day of the Lord will begin. And heaven help those who have been left behind, because it will be hell on earth for 7 years, and there will be very few survivors. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Paul says that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night because it will happen suddenly and without warning when people least expect it. Jesus told his disciples to stay ready and alert for his return because he would come like a thief in the night at an hour when he was not expected. Listen to the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 12. But understand this, If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." I think this verse has dual application. The command to be alert and ready applies to those who are waiting for Jesus to come in the rapture, before the tribulation period. And it also applies to believing Jews and tribulation saints who will be waiting for his return to earth at the end of the tribulation period. The Bible teaches us that Jesus will first return in the clouds and collect his church and take them back to heaven. This happens before the tribulation period starts. In this coming, which we call the rapture of the church, Jesus will appear only to the church, whereas at his second coming to earth, at the end of the tribulation, the whole world will see him. Paul teaches us here that the day of the Lord will come suddenly and unexpectedly on unbelievers and catch them by surprise. As labor pains on a pregnant woman. The pregnant woman doesn't know when her birth pains will start, but she does know that when they do start, they will get harder and closer together, and they will not stop until the baby is born. In the same way, no one knows exactly when the birth pains of the day of the Lord will start. But we do know that they will get stronger and closer together until Jesus rides into town on his white horse. By the way, when Jesus comes for us in the rapture, he will be on foot. The angel told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 that he would return the same way he left. Destruction will come on them suddenly, and they will not escape. Notice our text says destruction will come on them. It does not say destruction will come on us. It also says they will not escape. It does not say we will not escape. This is because we who believe in and follow the Lord Jesus will escape. The text teaches us that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly and suddenly on all unbelievers in the world and bring destruction. Jesus says in Luke 17, 26 and 27, that in the days of the Son of Man, that is the time just before his coming, the world will be like it was in the days of Noah. People will be eating and drinking, getting married and going about life as normal. But the day Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. People were not expecting the flood, and they were not prepared for it. It came as a total surprise, and they could not escape. Jesus also says in the same passage that the world in the last days will be like it was in the days of Lot. The day Lot left Sodom, fire and brimstone rained down from heaven and burned up the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, killing everyone in them. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were not expecting judgment, but the day Lot left the city, they were burned up. Jesus must be talking about the condition of the world before the rapture, because when he returns to earth at the end of the tribulation, no one will be living normal lives. After 7 years of God's judgments being poured out on the earth, causing tremendous suffering and death, most of the people will be dead. The ones still living will be in survival mode. The satanic one-world government and economy under the Antichrist and his false prophet will have been totally shattered to pieces. Make note of the pattern here. God removes the righteous remnant from harm's way and gets them to safety. And then immediately his judgment falls on the wicked, unsuspecting people who are left behind. That is exactly what our passage is saying this morning. Destruction will come on them, and they will not escape. You are not in darkness that this day should surprise you. The first reason believers should not be surprised by the coming of the day of the Lord is that we will not be on earth when it comes. We will be in heaven with Jesus. Since the rapture occurs before the day of the Lord comes, we will not be here. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says that Jesus rescues us believers who are waiting for him from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and 10 tell us that Jesus himself will return in the clouds and save us from God's wrath that will be poured out on the day of the Lord. The second reason that we should not be surprised by the day of the Lord is that if we are awake and alert, we will be able to recognize that it's coming before we are taken away in the rapture. When a thunderstorm is on its way, you can see dark clouds off in the distance. Then you see them moving closer and closer before the rain starts to fall. When a train is coming, if you put your ear to the tracks, you can hear a sound, even when it is a long way off. Then, as it gets closer and closer, you can hear the noise getting louder and louder. Finally, you can feel the ground start to vibrate before it arrives. In the same way, if you know the signs which indicate that the judgment of God is coming and are alert to what is happening in the world, then you will be able to recognize that the start of the day of the Lord is getting close. In Hebrews 10:25, we are told to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. We will not know the day or the hour, but we will know that we are in the season of the rapture and the coming of the day of the Lord. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for asking for a sign from heaven while not recognizing the signs of the times that were going on before their very eyes. The Messiah was standing right in front of them, performing many signs and miracles, proving his identity, but they didn't get it. In Matthew 16, 2 and 3, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. For unbelievers, however, the day of the Lord will come suddenly and unexpectedly, like labor pains begin for a pregnant woman. But for us who know Jesus and are awake and alert, we will be able to see the signs that his coming is drawing near. Since we are already seeing the signs of the approaching tribulation period and Jesus is coming at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom, we know that the rapture is getting close. Remember that the rapture comes at least 7 years before his return to earth." I like the statement that Jan Markell says, "When it seems like everything is falling apart, remember, God is in control, and really, everything is falling into place." If you are interested in learning more, I have put some copies of Dr. David Reagan's 50 Reasons Why We Are Living in the End Times on the back table. I would encourage you to pick up a copy and take it home on your way out. When you read it, compare the 50 signs to what is going on in the world today. Sons of the light and sons of the day. In verse 5, Paul says, "The sons of the light and the sons of the day won't be surprised by the day of the Lord." He uses those terms to refer to born-again Christians, those who have had a conversion experience and become a child of God. sons of the light and sons of the day are not sinos. Rhymes with rhino. And it means Christian in name only. Rather, they have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. They have received God's gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. They have experienced new birth. This business of becoming a born-again Christian may sound too simplistic or even legalistic. However, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." New birth is foundational and must happen in your life for you to go to heaven. Do you want to be taken up with Jesus in the rapture and escape the day of the Lord, also known as the tribulation period? Then you must get ready by being born again. If you are not already a born-again Christian, do not wait any longer to become one. Get ready for the rapture and the coming of the day of the Lord by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. How do you become a born-again Christian? Just follow the ABCs of salvation. A, admit that you are a sinner and deserve to die. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You are not alone in being a sinner. Every living, breathing human that has ever existed, except for Jesus, has sinned many times. B, believe that Jesus died for your sins, shedding his precious blood at Calvary to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He was then raised up from his human death, conquering sin and death for all. John 3:18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That brings us to C. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Have you followed the ABCs of salvation? Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins and save you? If not, I urge you to come to Jesus today and call on his name. When you do, you will become a born-again Christian, and you will be ready to go meet Jesus in the clouds when he calls your name. So then, at the rapture, you won't be left behind. May June 13th, 2021, become your spiritual birthday. May today be the day that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are going to play another video. This one is meant to be encouraging. The song talks about what is going to happen shortly after we get to heaven. As you listen to the song and watch the video, I want you to imagine that you have just heard an angel shout, "Attention, church! You have just heard a trumpet blast." Then you hear Jesus call your name and say, "Come up here." You are gathered up with multitudes of people in the clouds. You see Jesus smiling. And then suddenly the whole crowd is rejoicing and worshiping before the throne of God in heaven. Jesus is standing next to the throne. God the Father makes a hand motion to quiet the happy crowd who become dead silent. An angel steps forward and asks a question. You know the answer. You sense that something important is about to happen. Play video.
Shadows deepen.
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all created groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Does our God intend to dwell in?